This week's Parsha is Parshas Balak, and the title of the shiur tonight is Bilam and the Avos. So tonight we're going to look at the beginning of the Parsha, of this week's Parsha, Parshas Balak. And there's a lot of references to the Avos, to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov in several of Rashi's that we're going to come across. So we're going to try to figure out what the connection between the Avos and Bilam is and why it's so important and integral that it's mentioned many times in Rashi's. And of course, in doing so, I think we'll also have a greater appreciation for what the intent of Bilam was and what the nature of the curse was, the curse he was trying to put on the Jewish people. So if you look in source number one, I didn't want to bring down the whole beginning of the Parsha, but basically, before this point, Balak sends out a group of messengers to convince Bilam to go curse the Jewish people at the beginning of the Parsha, and Bilam speaks to Hashem, and Hashem says, don't go with them. So we're going to pick it up from that point. Look in source number one. It's Parachof Beis, Pasuk Tezvav. It says, Vayosef od Balak shloch sarim rabim v'nechbadim me'ele. So once Bilam rejected Balak's first offer, Balak decides to send greater people to Bilam to convince Bilam to curse the Jewish people. Vayavo el Bilam vayomer lo ko'amar Balak ben Zippor al nas simana mehaloch elai. And these important dignitaries, they say to Bilam that Balak sent us, and don't hesitate to come with us. Ki chabeira chabercha meod v'chol asher tomar elai eseh l'chana kavali es ha'amazeh. Because I will surely respect you, I'll show you great honor, and please help me curse the Jewish people. So Balak sends these messengers to Bilam to convince him to take on this mission of cursing the Jewish people, and he's gonna honor Bilam and give him lots of money. And in Yud Ches it says, "Vayan Bilam vayomer l'avdei Balak, im yiten li Balak meloch beiso chesef v'zahav, lo uchal la'avor es pi Hashem Elokai la'asos ketana o gedola." So first Bilam says, I can't go with you, because I can't, even if you give me a lot of money, I can't violate the word of Hashem. But then in Yotes, he says, so you guys wait, and I'll speak to Hashem, and I'll see what he tells me. So we're in source number one, Pasuk Chaf. So Hashem says to Bilam, listen, if they're calling for you and you want to go with them, then go. But just know that whatever I say to you and whatever is put into your mouth, that's what you're going to say. So Bilam decides to go, and he goes to curse the Jewish people. And Hashem gets angry that Bilam went, and he ends up trying to stop him. So of course, so just to summarize, the beginning in source number one, we're taking it up from the point where Bilam already rejects the first offer of Balak, and then he sends greater dignitaries to try to convince Bilam to go curse the Jewish people. And Bilam says, let me speak to Hashem. Hashem says, listen, if you want to go, then fine. But just know that whatever I tell you, that's what you're going to say. And Bilam decides to go, Hashem gets angry. So of course, the question is, what was Bilam's plan to curse the Jewish people? But furthermore, Hashem told Bilam that he could go, and then when Bilam goes, Hashem gets angry. So what exactly is that also? We have to understand why Hashem gets angry at Bilam for going when Bilam is given permission by Hashem to go. So what exactly is going on here? And of course, the main focus of the shir, you'll see from multiple Rashis, that there's a connection somehow between Bilam and the Avos. So what is that connection? So if you look in source number two in Rashi, it starts right here. So it says, Milo beso kesef izahav. So this is on Pasuk Yud Ches. Bilam says to the dignitaries of Balak, even if you give me a lot of money, I can't violate the word of Hashem. So look in source number two in Rashi. It says, Lamanu shenafsho rechava umechamed mamon acherim. So Bilam was very into money. He liked lots of money. He liked other people's money. And this shows you that the fact that he mentions, even if Balak were to give me lots of money, shows you that he really wanted money. Roylo litain li kesef v'zahav shelo. And he, in his mind, he thought it was justified that he get Balak's money. Why? Sharei tzarech liskor chayelos rabos safek notzeach safek ino notzeach v'ani vade notzeach. If Balak wants to fight the Jewish people on his own, he's going to have to hire soldiers. And even then, there's a doubt whether the soldiers will win, but I'm a guarantee. So Bilam was very confident, overconfident, and he believed that he really deserved all this money and that he was going to be successful in cursing the Jews. And then look in source number two, the last end of Rashi, lo uchal avor. But he says to the dignitaries, I can't violate the word of Hashem. Al korcho gila shehu b'rishos achirim. So Bilam was unwilling, he didn't realize it, but he, in saying this, he was recognizing and accepting the fact that he didn't have control over the situation, that Hashem was in control. Venis nabe kan, this is interesting. So he also gave nevuah here, she'enu yachol levatel habracho shenis barchu avos mepiashchina. So Bilam was alluding over here to the idea that it would be impossible for him to break the brachos that were given from Hashem to the avos, to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So the first point, or the first question is, what is the connection between, or what is the intent, or what's the idea of Bilam and the brachos that were given to the avos? Wasn't Bilam just trying to curse the Jewish people? He was trying to give them a curse, put the voodoo curse on them. So why does Rashi mention in the first Rashi, in source number two, that he was unwillingly admitting to the idea that he wasn't going to be able to destroy, to be mevatel, nullify the brachos that were given to the avos? Why even mention the avos in Rashi? Why mention Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? It seems like the whole idea of Bilam was that he was trying to curse the Jewish people. So why was it necessary in Rashi to point out that he wanted to, or that he wasn't going to be able to nullify the brachos, the blessings that were given to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? What do Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov have to do with this situation? Okay, so lest you think that this is only one Rashi in Balak, but there's many Rashis that allude to the Avos. So let's keep going. Look in source number three. So Hashem says, "Im likru lecha, if they're coming to call for you, ima kriya shelcha v'sover ata litol le'aschar kum lechitam. If you want to make some money and you think you're going to be rewarded, go with them. V'ach al korchecha esedavar sher daberi lecho sosa sev afa pichem v'yelch Bilam amar shema efatenu v'yisrata." So Hashem says to Bilam, no matter what, whatever I put into your mouth, that's what you'll say. But Bilam went anyways because he thought that he was going to persuade Hashem and he could trick him into cursing the Jewish people. So aside from the questions that we've raised before, and trust me, there'll be one good, nice answer, I think. The first question that we had was on the Avos. But now the question is also, what was Bilam's plan? It seems like Bilam has a strange plan here. Hashem says to him, listen, you're not going to be successful. Bilam was not a stupid man. He was very smart. And yet he thinks that I'm going to go with Balak and I'm going to convince or persuade Hashem to curse the Jewish people. What was Bilam's plan? And perhaps there's a connection between the Avos and Bilam's plan. Okay, so keep going. Now we get to the next allusion to the Avos. Look in source number four in Rashi. He says, Vayechavoshes aso no. So Bilam agrees to go and he has in mind that he's going to convince Hashem to curse the Jewish people, and he saddles his donkey. In source number four, Rashi says like this, Mikan shasina mikalkeles es hashura. So this teaches us that hatred is so strong that it'll even lower somebody's dignity. Meaning Bilam even saddled his own donkey, which is beneath him normally. Shechava shuva atzmo. So Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rasha kvar kidemcha Avram avihem. Rasha, Avram already did this before you. Shenemar v'yashkim Avram babukir v'yachavosh eschamaro. That Avram, when he was getting ready to do the Akedah, it says that Avram saddled his own donkey, and they say there that it's a perfection in Avram that he did it himself. So again, this is the second allusion to the Avos. First we saw that Rashi mentions that Bilam admitted that he wasn't going to be mevatel the brachos that were given to the Avos, and now over here in this Rashi, again, it says that by Avram, that it's comparing Bilam to Avram, that Bilam tried to, or he did saddle his own donkey, much like Avram saddled his own donkey, and Hashem saying to Bilam, Avram already came before you, he did the same thing. So again, the questions are, what's the connection between Bilam and the Avos? This is the second Rashi where Avram's mentioned, the Avos are mentioned. So what is the connection? Why is there a comparison between Bilam and the Avos? And furthermore, what was his plan here? Hashem told him that if you want to, you can go, but he said you're not going to be successful. So why did Bilam think that, or what was his plan? Why did he think that he was going to be successful in cursing the Jewish people? Okay? So the next Rashi, we're just doing Rashis tonight, but the Rashis give us a lot of insight, you'll see. So the next Rashi, in source number 5, says, so what did Bilam see, or the question we had was, why was Hashem angry at Bilam? Because Hashem told Bilam to go. So again, why was Hashem angry at him? So if you look in source number 5, he says, Ki holechu, ra shadavar ra b'ini amakom v'nis'ave leilech. So Bilam saw that Hashem did not want him to go. This is a bad plan, but he was still desirous to go. And Hashem sends a malach, l'satan lo, look in source number 5, to thwart him. Malach shel rachamim haya, v'haya rotze l'mano milachto shelo yechtev yovad. So this is also funny. So on the one hand, it says in the Pasuk that Hashem was angry at Bilam for leaving, and Rashi explains why, because Bilam, he shouldn't have been so excited to go. He should have recognized that he wasn't going to be successful. But nevertheless, when Hashem sends him a malach, and that's the whole story with the donkey, it says it's a malach shel rachamim, that Hashem has mercy on him, and he's trying to stop him so that he won't be a chote. So what is the idea here? On the one hand, Hashem's angry, but on the other hand, he's trying to help him. So why is he trying to help Bilam? Why is it so important that he send malach shel rachamim to help Bilam? So these are all the questions. Okay, look in source number 6. This is Chachamim. He says, "Dekaimelon lamaksev aichar af Hashem v'gomer v'alo amar lo kum lechitam." So it's the same question. Hashem told him to go. Why was he angry? Atem kum lechitam ela rosh adavar rahu b'ne'am makom shol hitir lo lelech ela b'shvil hana'aso litol le'eschar. Hashem only wanted him to go to get the reward, the money. V'hunis ave lelech kidei lekalalam. But Bilam missed this, and he really thought that he could curse the Jewish people. Lefichach v'yichar af Hashem. That's why Hashem got angry. V'gomer v'ra'am pirs kemen shlo hiskim Hashem she'ilech elam b'nei schara lohela leilech mishum hachi v'yichar v'gomer. The Ra'am says that he shouldn't have gone at all, but nevertheless, the question is why, on the one hand, Hashem told Bilam not to go, or he says it's a bad idea, or if you want to go, go. But on the other hand, it sounds like Bilam really wanted to go, and he was very happy, so Hashem gets angry at him, and then he sends him malachei rachamim to help him, so that he's not a chote. So it's a very strange progression here. On the one hand, Hashem says you can go. On the other hand, Bilam shouldn't have gone, but he was very excited to go. And then finally, Hashem gives him malachei rachamim in order to help him. So why is Hashem helping him if he's angry? So these are all the questions. So again, to summarize, up to this point, we went through sources 1 to source 7. So up to this point, we have a bunch of questions, but let me just isolate the questions. Really, there's two. The first question is that we saw two Rashis up till now in source number 2 and source number 4. No, source number 4, yeah. That compare Bilam reference the relationship between Bilam and something that he was trying to do, the Avos. So the first one Rashi mentions that Bilam wasn't going to be successful in uprooting the brachos to the Avos. And then the second one, it says that Bilam saddled his own donkey, and Hashem says, Avram did this before you. So the question is, why is there always this connection between Bilam and the Avos? What is that connection? And furthermore, the second question is really, what exactly is the back and forth that on the one hand, Hashem says to Bilam, you can go, and then Bilam decides to go, and then Hashem gets angry at him. But he's not angry that he punishes him. He sends him a malach l'satanlo, and Rashi says to give him a malach l'rachamim. He's trying to help him. So what exactly is going on here? On the one hand, what was Bilam's flaw? What was he trying to do? What was the message Hashem was trying to tell him? And why did he send him malach l'rachamim? So those are all the questions. Okay? So we have to understand, we're going to understand in answering all the questions what a curse is also. So you'll see how we answer that. But keep all those questions in mind. If anybody has any possibilities towards the end of the shiur, you know, we'll try to open it up. Okay, so there's one other case in source number 8 where it's actually the allusion and reference to the Avos is most apparent. And that's in the actual story of the donkey. So if you look in source number 8, let's just go through the story briefly. It's Pasuk Chaf Gimel. It says, Vatera Ason es Malach Hashem Nitzav Badarach V'charbo Shlufa Biado V'Tet Ha'ason Min Hadarach V'Telech Basadeh V'Yach Bilom Es Ha'ason La'atosa Hadarach. So Bilam is riding his trusted donkey, and the donkey sees an angel, and the angel is holding a sword, and of course, naturally, the donkey gets scared, and Bilam ends up hitting the donkey. So then the malach shows up in the next spot in the vineyards, and there's a fence on either side. So what happens is that the donkey gets afraid again, and he ends up pushing Bilam's leg against the fence, and Bilam hurts his leg, and he hits the donkey. Then the third event or situation is where the donkey is in a place where he can't go right or left. He's stuck. It's very narrow. And in Chaf Zayin, we're on the next page now in the source sheets. Vatera asonis malach Hashem vater batz tachas bilam v'yichar af bilam v'yachas ason b'makel. So what happens is that the donkey gets afraid again, and it crouches down, and now Bilam's really annoyed. Bilam's really annoyed, and he hits him. Vayivtach Hashem es pi ason v'atomer levolam me'asisi l'cha ki kisani zeh shalosh regalem. And then the ason's mouth opens, and he criticizes Bilam for hitting him. So in the story of the donkey, there's three situations where Bilam hits the donkey. The first situation is where Bilam is with the donkey and the donkey has a place to go right and left, and Bilam hits the donkey because the donkey gets scared. The second is that the donkey has a narrower space and he goes and he knocks Bilam's leg into the fence, and then Bilam hits him again. And then the third example is where the donkey no longer has any place to go, and then Bilam finally hits him and the donkey's mouth opens. Hashem opens the donkey's mouth and he criticizes him. So again, I told you that there's another allusion, a reference to the Avos. So here we're going to see it right now. In source number 9, in Rashi, it says, Vayosef malach Hashem avor, la'avor od lefanav, la'aloch lios lefanav b'makom acher, kimo v'hu avar lifnehem. So the malach kept going in front to a different spot. U'medrash agada, the medrash says, yish b'tanchuma, ma ra lamod b'shloshim akomos. Why was the malach in three different places? Simon avos her'ohu. He showed him a sign about the Avos, about Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So what was this sign that he was showing him? What was the idea that Hashem was trying to convey to Bilam about the Avos? So if you look in source number 10, the Medrash that Rashi quotes is right over here. So it says as follows, Vatera asonis malach Hashem batilchatz, vayosef malach Hashem avor, ma ra'a l'kadmo gimel pa'amim. So why was the malach in three different spots? Simonim shel Avos hera'ukan. So he was teaching Bilam an idea about the Avos, about Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Amad lo barishona v'haya revach mikan mikan. In the first spot, the donkey had the ability to go to the right and to the left. Shenamar v'ateid ha'ason min aderech. It says that the donkey went off the path. B'shnia lo yachla lo zuz el tzad echad. In the second situation, the donkey could only go to one side. B'shlishis in derech lintos dem minusmo. In the last situation, he had no space to go. So what is the reference? Umaha yuasimanim. What were the signs here? Im ilu bikesh lekalo banav shel Avraham. If you want to curse the children of Avraham, hayam motza b'nei Yishmael u'b'nei Keturah mikan mikan. Curse Yishmael and curse the children of Keturah, who are the offspring of Avraham, which are on the right and the left. Bikesh lekalo banav shel Yitzchak. If you want to curse the children of Yitzchak, motza banav shel Esav l'tzad echad v'tilchat el akir. Then curse, you'll find Esav to the side and curse him. And that's the situation where Bilam's leg gets caught. Elabonav shel Yaakov, lomatza behem psoles liga behem. But the children of Yaakov, there's no way that you can affect them. Lechach ksiv, there's no psul, there's no defect in them. Lechach ksiv bishlishis b'makom tsar. That's the third situation. It was very narrow. Vatera asonis malach Hashem, vater batz tachas Bilam, vayachas ason b'makel. And then the donkey crouches down because it's scared, and Bilam hits it. So this is the third example, the third case, where we see that there's some connection between Bilam and the Avos. So first we saw before that Bilam tried, or the Rashi shows us that Bilam was admitting that he couldn't undo the brachos that were given to the Avos. Then the second situation was Vayachavoshes Chamoro, that Bilam saddled his own donkey, and the Medrash, as Rashi quotes, that Avraham did this before by the Akedah. And then finally, we see in this situation by the donkey that the idea that Hashem was trying to convey in the Medrash relates to the Avos. It's the idea that if Bilam's intending to curse the sons of Avraham, the children of Avraham, it's not going to be the Jews. It's going to be Yishmael. Or look at, you know, Keturah. If you want to curse Yitzchak, so look at Esav. If you want to curse Yaakov, well, you're stuck. You know, there's nowhere to curse. So what is the idea that the Malach is trying to convey to Bilam? And what's this connection, this deep connection between Bilam and the Avos? That's the title of the shir, Bilam and the Avos. What is the connection between the two? What was Bilam's idea here that Hashem was trying to convey to Bilam? Okay, and then nevertheless, there's one more situation where we're going to see that that Bilam references, that Rashi references the Avos. But let's just go back to the facts, to the pshat, and like I said, we're going to come to one idea that explains everything, hopefully. So if you look in source number 11, so after all this, what happens? Vayomer Bilam el Malach Hashem Chatasi, So Bilam sees the malach. When the ason opens its mouth, Hashem opens the ason's mouth, and he admits that he's a sinner, and he says, I can go back, I'll turn back. And in Lamed Hey it says, Vayumar malach Hashem el Bilam, lechim on Hashem be'efes, esedavar sher adaber lecho, so sedaber vayelach Bilam imsari v'alach. So Bilam says, Hashem says, you should go with these people, but like I said before, what I tell you is that's what you're going to say, and Bilam goes with them. So Rashi says as follows, look in source number 12, and this will get back to an idea that we're going to mention, and we're going to explain. So in source number 12, it says, Ki lo yadati gamze gnuso val korcho hoda. This is also a disgrace to Bilam, that he had to admit that he didn't see the malach. Shehu haya mishtabech sheyodea das alyon. Before, he was so proud of the fact that he knew God, that he understood God. Upiv heyed lo yadati, now he's admitting that he didn't know. He was like challenging Hashem, and he was saying, if it's really bad, I'll go back, I'll turn back. So Amr lo, hu be'atzmo tzivani l'leches. He said to the Malach, Hashem commanded me to go. Ve'ata Malach mevatel stavarov. The Malach is now nullifying it. Lomad hu bikach, she'omer davar ha-Malach machziro. So there's other cases where this happens. By Avram, another reference to Avram. Amr lo Avram, kach nos bincha, by the Akedah. So another reference to Avram here, there's a connection here that just like the Malach told Avram, don't fulfill the word of Hashem in killing your son, so too over here, the Malach was telling Bilam to turn back. So Bilam was unsure who to follow, but then he decides to go, and it says, Lechim on Hashem, look in source 13. So he says, Im sorei Balak, look at the last Rashi, he says, Sameach lekalam kemosam. So he was happy to go. So this is also strange. On the one hand, Bilam, whatever the idea of that Hashem was trying to convey to Bilam, he recognized momentarily. He said, Chatasi, I made a mistake. But then afterwards, he decides to go and he's happy to be Makal of them. So, what exactly is going on here between Bilam and Hashem? So, there's two things going on in the Shir here. We're trying to understand the relationship between Hashem telling him to go and not telling him to go. So, there's many situations. Hashem first says, you can go if you want to. And then Bilam goes, then he gets angry. Then he tries to help him by giving him these ideas, and Bilam decides to go again. And also, the other question, which these ideas will connect, is what's the comparison of Bilam to the Avos? So there's a constant comparison in Rashi. There's the idea of Avraham in two places. There's the idea of the Tanchuma, where the actual story there, that Hashem was trying to convey to him an idea about the Avos. So why is there always a concept of Avos and Bilam in terms of what his intent was or what he was trying to do? Okay, the last idea, and then we'll get to the main concept of the shir. So the last idea is source number 14. It says, Eshivam is Bachos. So what happens? So in the first curse, or the first attempted curse by Bilam, he's constantly asking for seven Mizbechos, seven altars. So why does he ask for seven altars to bring sacrifices in order to begin cursing the Jewish people? So if you look in source number 14, it says, Shivam is Bachos Arachti, Ink Sivkan. Ela eis shiva mizbechos. It doesn't say seven mizbechos that I set up, but it says the seven mizbechos. Amar lefanav, he said before Hashem, avosam shel elu banu lefanecha shiva mizbechos. These their forefathers, the Jewish forefathers, built before you seven altars. Va'ani arachti keneged kulon. But I'm gonna build seven myself. Avram bana arba. Avram had four. So there's four examples or four cases where Avraham set up an altar, a mizbeach, and sacrificed. Yitzchak bana echad, va'even sham mizbeach. Yitzchak was one. Yaakov bana shtayim, and Yaakov built two. Echad b'shchem, echad b'beisel. So Yaakov built two. So now Bilam in his curse, he has seven. Keneged all of those. Va'al par va'al b'mizbeach. Va'avram lohela elo'ayel echad. And also, Bilam was better. He's saying, I'm better than Avram because I'm going to put a par in an aisle, and Avram only brought one aisle on his Mizbeach. So he's trying to outdo the Avos here. So what is this, again, another allusion, reference to the Avos and Bilam and the Avos. So what exactly is going on here with the Avos? That's the question. Okay? What is the connection? So again, we have four situations, or at least, or maybe five, where Rashi alludes to the Avos, that Bilam admits that he's not going to be able to be mevatel the brachos of the Avos. He saddles his donkey, and Rashi says, like Avraham came before you, he already did that. Then you have the whole story with the Ason, And the ideas there are trying to teach him about the Avos, that the Avos have children that are worthy to be cursed, but not the Jewish people. And then there's an idea that the Malach tells him to not go, or the Malach stops him or tells him to go, and similar to Avram. And then finally, this last idea by Bilam and the curse. So he sets up Shiva Mizbechus in order to outdo the Avos. He's trying to show that the Avos did seven, I'm going to make seven myself. Can I get all the Avos? And so too, I'm going to bring more Korbanos. So what exactly is Bilam's plan here? What's the idea of Bilam and the connection between the Avos, and what exactly is going on here? Okay, does anybody have any possibilities? You want to try a shot, take a shot at it to try to explain Rashi's? So what is the connection here? Okay, so the first question before we get to the connection is, what is a curse? And I gave a share on this, I think, a year or two ago. And I had one approach, but there's another approach, an alternative approach. So the approach I had a couple years ago was that it's like a type of tefillah to Hashem. And Bilam had insight into Midas HaDin. And I think that approach is based on the Ramban more. But there's another approach to the nature of a curse, which will also explain the intent of Bilam here in cursing the Jewish people, which is, and I heard this idea from Rabbi Chait, the idea, I think, is that a curse is an expression of ideas that could be harmful to the person who's being cursed. Meaning, if I curse you, it's not that there's a magic to my words and that my words are going to abracadabra cause a curse to occur, but it's that if you hear me curse you, if you hear the ideas of the curse, it's going to affect you negatively because you're going to be harmed by it. You're going to be depressed by it, sad by it, and it'll cause a vulnerability within you that could be dangerous and that could actually cause a downfall. And so too by Bilam. So I think the idea that was mentioned that I heard was that Bilam's intent was based on trying to give these ideas, trying to give harmful ideas, or at least expose the Jewish people to harmful ideas, have them hear the nature of his curse, and thus be harmed by it. So what was the nature of, what was he trying to do, I think? So what was he trying to do? So I think if you go with that approach to a curse, of course, before we move forward, just there's three possibilities for a curse. It's either a tefillah, and it's from Hashem, or it's what I just said, it's more natural, that when you curse somebody, they're affected by the curse because they hear what you said and they get upset about it and it affects them, and ultimately they can be punished by Hashem because when they're depressed or they're sad by the curse, it harms them and it could cause a downfall. And then the last possibility is that it's some type of magical idea. That's the last possibility. But we're going with the first two, so the second one really, which is the idea that exposing people to the ideas of a curse could be harmful to them and thus create a downfall and a negative, and therefore be harmed by it. So what was the Bilam's intent, if you go with that approach? So Bilam understood that the Jewish people had a certain perception of the Avos, that Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and the Shvatim, were in the minds of the Jews, were really these great individuals, which they are. The Torah teaches us that they were great individuals. And of course, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were the foundation of the philosophy of Torah, of the Judaism, because Avram discovered God and the idea of monotheism and all the basic principles of our religion are tied to the Avos, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And of course, also, they were great people. Avram was a Baal Chesed, Yitzchak, Yaakov, they're all great people, they're all great midos. So the idea that Bilam was trying to play on was that, on the one hand, the foundational ideas of Yehadus were based on the Avos, but on the other hand, and also furthermore, these people were great men, and the Jewish people had a certain perception of them. There was a perception that the Avos were great, and that perception is real. But Bilam understood that if he undermined that perception, if he could somehow show the Jews in some way that the Avos that you believe in or that you're tied to aren't such great people, there's greater people out there, perhaps he could also break down the basic underlying philosophy that was tied to the Avos as well, that the Jews ascribed to the Avos as well. And that was the plan of Bilam in cursing the Jews. He wanted to curse them in a way where they would hear about this, where they would figure out that perhaps the Avos weren't as great as we think they are. And once the perception of the Avos was undermined, So then it was dangerous for Klal Yisrael, because the philosophy of Torah is all based on the Avos and the philosophy that they discovered. So you see this idea clearly from the Shiva Mizbechos. It always bothered me. What was Rashi saying there? Why does Bilam set up 7 Mizbechos, and why is he trying to outdo the Avos? So the idea is that the purpose and the goal of Bilam was to try to undermine the perception of the Avos. They're not so great. Look at what I'm doing. I'm doing something greater than them. I'm bringing more korbanos. I'm setting up 7 Mizbechos. Avram only brought 4, and Yitzchak only 1. So you see, they're not so great. So he was trying to really undermine. He wanted the Jewish people to hear about this, and he wanted to affect their perception of the Avos, and thus undermine and break down the philosophy that came with it, which is the philosophy of Judaism, which is the idea of monotheism, the idea of all the basic ideas of Torah, Tzchar V'Onesh, all those ideas that Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were responsible for transmitting and being the foundations of Judaism. Bilam was trying to undermine by undermining the perception of the Jews of the Avos. And that's why there's so many allusions to the Avos, that he was trying to be Mevatel, the Brachos of the Avos, that he was acting like Avram, but in the opposite way, meaning that he was trying to show off, he was trying to show that the Avos aren't so special. And once you break down the superego, the imaginary idea that you have of the Avos in Bilam's mind, once that was broken down, he could also thus break down the philosophy amongst the people, and therefore they would be subject to punishment and perhaps destruction. And that's why that's the idea that he was intending to destroy them. He thought that these ideas and this undermining of the perception of the Avos was so powerful that it could really destroy the Jewish people. It could really undermine and destroy in their minds the philosophy that the Torah was based on. So now with that idea, which is the main idea of the Shir, with that idea we can understand the whole idea of the Malach and a little bit more. So what exactly is going on here? So what's going on is that Bilam was trying this plan out, this strategy. His strategy was to use the Avos and to undermine them in the eyes of the people, and the people will find out about it, and it'll affect them negatively, and it'll be harmful to them. And of course, Hashem was aware of the plan of Bilam, and he doesn't think that it's a good plan. In fact, he's against the plan of Bilam. But the idea is that he gives him an opportunity to do tshuva, because he shows him, see, in source number 10, the idea of the Avos, that there's the Banav Shel Avram, Yishmael, and Keturah, he's cursed them, or by Yitzchak, cursed Esav. He's trying to show Bilam that Bilam shouldn't think that this is true. Meaning, on the one hand, Bilam had a strategy. His strategy was to undermine the perception of the Jews of the Avos. But he also believed that. He believed that the Avos were really... Bilam himself believed that the Avos were really... were really not as great as perceived, as great as people thought they were. So the idea of the Malach that Hashem is trying to do is he's trying to show him the reality. The reality is that the Avos and the Mesorah of the Avos is impermeable, and it's not something that's subject to corruption. And Bilam attempted, or part of the attempt of the curse, was a belief in himself in this idea, in the idea of the curse, which is that the Avos are being propped up and they're not really as great as they are. And the Malach is showing him that no, that the reality is not the way that you see it. But nevertheless, so you see that Hashem was giving him an opportunity and showing him the ideas that ran contrary to what he was attempting to do. But nevertheless, Bilam really went forward. He still believed in this curse, so he couldn't accept these ideas. So on the one hand, the Malach was trying to show him and go against his belief that the Avos were really people who were propped up. That's what Bilam believes. He believed that they weren't as great as they are. Look, there's Yishmael. Look at all the people that came from the Avos. So they're not so great. So I'm going to break them down in the eyes of the people. But the reality was Hashem was trying to show him through the Malach that he was missing the reality. The reality was that the Avos were great and that they did produce a Mesorah that was intact. And they were trying, the purpose of the Malach was to try to show him that idea. But again, the question that we had before, one more question is, why does Hashem do this? Why does he give him rachamim if he's angry at him? So you could say that he wanted him to go back, he wanted him to stop, he wanted him to recognize this idea, but there's one other point here. Look in source number 15. So when we get to the last curse, the Torah changes its lashon by Bilam. It says, Vayar Bilam ki tov b'nei Hashem v'areches Yisrael, v'lo alach gefam b'fam l'kras nech Hashem, v'yashes al midbar panav, So on the last curse, Bilam recognizes that he has no shot and that really Hashem really wants to bless the people. And and then he gets Nevuah. So if you look in source number 16, Lavor is Pi Hashem, Kan lo nemar lo kai, kemosh nemar bar yishon, lo fish yada shen nivash ba kadosh baruch hu v'nitrod. He basically recognized at that point that there was no purpose in attempting to curse the Jewish people. And then he was a willing participant in the brachos of the Jewish people in the last bracha in source number 15. So what do we see here? So there's one last idea I want to just share, which is similar to what I give share on by the Meraglim, which is that why did Hashem give Bilam an opportunity to do tshuva? Because really Hashem recognized that, and yet he says for him to go, because Hashem recognized that if Bilam were to accept the reality of the greatness of the Avos, and he were to retract on his attempt to curse the Jewish people, it could have been a tremendous Kiddush Hashem. That Bilam had an opportunity to just accept the will of God and to be a willing participant and be a Mevarich of Yisrael, and that would be a tremendous Kiddush Hashem. It would actually be a benefit to Klal Yisrael instead of him being an unwilling participant and God forcibly acting to cause him to speak and give the bracha. So the idea was that Hashem was trying to give Bilam an opportunity to do tshuva by showing him that his belief in the Avos being false in their greatness, his belief in the undermining of the Avos was really not true. And the reason for this was that he wanted Bilam, ultimately, he wanted to give Bilam the opportunity to create a Kiddush Hashem. Because for a normal person, when it says Hashem, Vayichar Af Hashem, he usually punishes. But he recognized that there's an opportunity here for Bilam not just to work on himself and accept these ideas, but also to function in a Kiddush Hashem capacity. But nevertheless, Bilam did not do that. In fact, Rashi says that until the last blessing, he wasn't able to accept the reality of this, that this plan was fruitless and there was no reality and there was no truth to his idea about the Avos. Okay, so that's the end of the shir. Let me just summarize. So the shir is basically, there's two lines of thought going on here, but there's basically two points. So the main question is, what's the connection between Bilam and the Avos? There's many Rashis where there's ideas about the Avos being expressed to Bilam. And the second line of thought, or the second concept in the shir, is tied to the back and forth of Hashem giving Bilam an opportunity to go and then being angry at him and then giving him an opportunity to tshuva and then Bilam going nevertheless. So how do we explain it? So we explain that really Bilam's attitude was that he was trying to curse the Jews by exposing them or undermining their perception of the Avos. And you see that from when he tries or attempts to curse the first time, he sets up seven Mizbechos, and Rashi says that he's trying to equal all the Avos, that Avram did four, Yitzchak did one, Yaakov did two. So now he's trying to compare himself in this process to the Avos, and also he's bringing more Korbanos and Avram. So what's he doing? What's the purpose of that? He wants the Jewish people to hear the curse, and he wants them to undermine the way that this curse is being functioning. He wants to undermine their perception of the Avos, and in doing so, he was hopeful that the Jews would therefore break down the basic philosophy that was transmitted by the Avos, and thus cause their downfall. And that was his attempt to curse the Jewish people. And of course, Hashem was trying to show Bilam that the reality wasn't the case, that the Avos were not being propped up. They were actually genuinely great people who were able to transmit a Mesorah that was intact. And Bilam shouldn't believe in this himself, but also Hashem was giving Bilam an opportunity to do tshuva so that he could be a willing participant in the brachos and being mevarech the Jewish people. But Bilam chooses not to do that, and of course, we know that Bilam's punished ultimately for his role in this process. All right? So, anybody have any questions? Anyone want to add anything to the shir?
I have a question.
Sure.
It seems like, from these examples, like Bilam was mostly like targeting Avraham.
Yeah.
Or that he was specifically, is that because, like, if he undermined Avraham, then he basically undermined all of them? Or is there, like,
yeah, I think Avraham was I actually agree with you. I think Avraham is highlighted more so than the other Avos because of the idea that Avraham was the fundamental. Like, he was the one who discovered the ideas. Yitzchak and Yaakov added to the Mesorah of Avraham, and they also kept it intact, but they weren't the ones who discovered it. So Avraham was perhaps the person to who is the most integral in the in terms of the Jews' perception of him in establishing the philosophy of Torah. So I agree with you. Yeah, I think you're right. There's a lot more Rashi's about Avram, so it's trying to show you that Bilam recognized that Avram in particular was a greater target, was a better, you know, was a greater target for him because Avram was the foundation, he was the discoverer of these ideas, and he knew that if he undermined the perception of Avram, so that would be the, you know, that would be the, perhaps that would be the downfall of the Jews. But you're right, yeah, there's definitely more references to Avram than the other Avos, I agree. All right, thank you. Good question. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, have a good Shabbos. Thank you.